Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
She's an on-the-rise entrepreneur helping other women in business, and she proves it's never too late to pivot and change careers. Coming up on KMOX Profiles, meet Stacey Taubman.
Welcome to Profiles. From entertainers to athletes, political leaders to entrepreneurs, Profiles gives you an insight into what has made these unique personalities who and what they are today. Now, Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Welcome to KMOX Profiles. I'm Debbie Monterey, and joining me is Stacey Taubman of Rise Collaborative. Thanks so much for joining me.
Absolutely. What a fun thing to do this morning.
Now, I remember when you were first putting this together, there are other collaborative workspaces in St. Louis. Collaborative workspaces are a big deal.
Yeah.
And you were putting one together that was different than others. So can you explain just a little bit about what Rise does and how it's different?
Absolutely. You're right. There's so many amazing co-working spaces here in St. Louis, and I had the good fortune to go to many of them when I left teaching and started my first company. And I would go, and they were awesome. And what they were doing for business owners were incredible. It just wasn't right for me. And so I, what most entrepreneurs do is when there's a problem, we solve it. I created a co-working space that worked for me and all the women I was meeting. It's female focused, but we like to say male friendly.
So men are allowed.
We have some men as members and guests, of course. Yeah. And our real focus is creating a pipeline for success. How can I take my first company, this idea of helping young women achieve their dreams, and then tie it to all the incredible businesswomen here in St. Louis that I was meeting?
So a lot of people who work in an office already may not get what a co-working space is and why we're seeing so many of them. So talk a little bit about maybe some of the drives behind why you wanted to do this.
It's funny because I find that my market, the people who join my community, often haven't heard that term, or if they have heard the term, they assume startup. And we are not a startup community. I also did some market research. Some people think co-working means like co-job sharing. So it's been really interesting to kind of get into the community and find out what that word means. Basically, we like to say we're similar to a coffee shop. You know, it's the flexibility of a coffee shop, but the polish of the corner office. So many people do business in coffee shops or even have coffee meetings, you know, as a biz dev kind of opportunity. And coffee shops are great, but they get old after a while, you know. And so how can we pull what's going right in a coffee shop but fix what's going wrong?
So, but do you have coffee?
Oh, we're lucky. We have Caldi's coffee. Ooh. And it is good. Yeah, so now I'm hooked. I'm a little bit of a coffee snob, thanks to Caldi's.
I do have to ask, though, for all of the people who are still doing their business in a coffee shop, do the coffee shops ever mind? Because my husband is convinced that it's like a selfish thing to do to hang out at the coffee shop all day.
Well, it's funny. I got nervous. Trisha, the owner of Caldi's, I'm so thankful to her and her support. And so I was like nervous when I say things like, you know, we're better than a coffee shop, that I was being disrespectful. But actually, they don't want people to be there all day. So we're doing them a favor. I mean, they want people to come get their delicious coffee and have a, you know, hang out for a little bit. But people who are there for 5 hours, that's not a win for them.
And it's not exactly the place to do all of your business.
Yeah, and it really steps up your game. I can remember when I first started my business and was working from a coffee shop, there's something about bringing a client to a Brightco or Starbucks versus bringing them to a beautiful professional office.
So if I am looking for a collaborative co-working space or whatever we want to call it, talk me through what I would get at Rise as opposed to the Starbucks.
Well, you know what's funny is when I started it, I really thought it was going to be about the space, right? You know, I'm a very literal math-minded person. I need space. This is going to be about the space. But I have 250 members and 120 of them don't really care about the space, which is really has been fun for me. 120 of them are what we call social members, and our social members join because of the community. We put on weekly educational and social events to help you grow personally and professionally. So, you know, and they only get one day of a month of workspace. So we bring in people from Monsanto, people you wouldn't think would ever need a co-working space because they don't have businesses, but they care about the community and they care about giving back to the next generation. So that's about half my members.
That is really neat.
Yeah. Now, the other members are there because they need a workspace, right? So they're either there once a week or all the time. And they have, you know, it's funny. It's just like a classroom. I used to be a teacher, so I relate everything to a classroom. But, you know, in a classroom, when you sit down, everyone has their seat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and once you sit in that one spot,
right,
that's
where
you...
This is my desk.
This is my seat. Same thing. I have members that like their seats, and they always sit in the same spot. And they, you know, they work from their laptop, or they have coffee meetings, or they connect with our members. Sometimes you just need to have somebody to say, atta girl, you can do it.
Yeah, my husband had been working at home for several years, and he kept thinking, I just need to have a place somewhere where there are other people.
Exactly. You know, it's funny, as I am a secret introvert, but it's when you start something or when you're working from home, it just really, it gets lonely. You know, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, we're hardwired mm-hmm. for human connection. So having that place to go every once in a while makes a huge difference.
You talked about the community aspect
yes.
of it, and I was going to say that I think St. Louis is kind of unique in a way because I've lived in a lot of places, and I feel like we have this amazing supportive community, mm-hmm. especially among professional women, really helping mm-hmm. each other out and helping network mm-hmm. and stuff, but really just our community in general, because you feel like you're just... you know, one or two people separated from
I say half
anyone.
A degree of separation.
Yeah.
It's not six, it's a half.
But you have taken Rise out of St. Louis. So how are things working in Denver?
Well, good. First, I want to speak to something you were saying about this, how supportive St. Louis is. So going from high school math teacher to taking on this endeavor, whew, it's a big change. And I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't all the women and men who taught me what I needed to learn to be able to take on this endeavor, raise capital, find a building, build out the building. I didn't know how to do any of that. I have no business background. So I wholeheartedly agree with you about St. Louis. Even other co-working spaces helped me learn what I needed to learn to make mine a success. So it's St. Louis is so great.
Okay, so let's go to Denver,
okay.
And we'll get back to the whole teaching thing and supportive community. but I was surprised that, you know, Rise Collaborative has been very successful, and you have all these members, and then boom, Denver. Why Denver?
You know, I wish I had money every time I got that question, because it's such a good question. I get it all the time. You know, from the get-go, I'm a girl dreaming big, so we wanted these all over the world, right? So it's a matter of where's our best second market? And we identified about five markets, Denver being one of them, and several others, and just got in and kind of got a sense for the community, and Denver's incredible. You know, in St. Louis, we have 72,000 women business owners with no employees. In Denver, there's 88,000. So another big market with super positive support of people. And it's not bad that it's sunny over 300 days a year. I know that shouldn't matter, but, you know, those kind of things. Yeah. And when we would go in and have coffees with impressive women, they were, you know, open arms. Come on in. We want you.
Also, they have a lot of a growing population, a lot
Correct.
Of people moving to Denver, a lot of younger people as well.
Yeah, and we find when people are in transition, they really seek out that community aspect, and that's what we want to provide. The other thing is that, speaking of Denver, I drove home last night, over 12 hours from Denver yesterday,
my gosh.
So my brain is only half working, so I apologize, listeners, that I'm fumbling along. But, you know, it's that, and it's just their community. I was able to find a location that mimicked the location in St. Louis. You know, we are in Clayton in St. Louis. In Denver, there's an area called Cherry Creek. We're just outside of Cherry Creek. So really finding these similar markets has been key for us.
All right. So what is your secret to driving from Denver to St. Louis for 12 hours by yourself? Books on cassette?
Well,
do you sing?
My secret is my husband.
Oh.
I have the good fortune. My husband comes with me every time we go to Denver. So I have an amazing support system, and I wouldn't be as successful if I didn't have him as a support.
Well, that is excellent to hear. Rise Collaborative here it's in Clayton, we'll say St. Louis area. We've talked a little bit about that, and Denver. When we come back on KMOX Profiles, we'll talk more about career changes.
Ooh.
Because as Stacy mentioned, she used to be a teacher. So more on that on the way. Stay with us here on The Voice of St. Louis.
More of Profiles coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Profiles on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Welcome back to KMOX Profiles. I'm Debbie Monterey. Stacey Taubman is my guest, and she started Rise Collaborative here in the St. Louis area. It's located in Clayton. And how many members did you say you have now?
We have over 250. I haven't looked at the final count recently. It's probably closer to 260 or 270 at this point.
All right. And they have Rise Collaborative. They've opened in Denver as well. And as she said, she'd someday like to have these all over the world
because
she's dreaming big. But let's talk about your pivot and your change in careers, because I think that's really fascinating. What you're doing now is nothing like what you used to do. And a lot of people are really nervous about that. A lot of people, you know, they're in their career, and even if they don't enjoy it that much, there's a fear of change and they think, well, I'll just ride this out. This is what I do. Now, you were a teacher.
Yeah.
So What happened? First of all, what did you teach?
I taught math. I'm a big math nerd. I think it's beautiful.
I should point out that Stacey is lovely and beautiful. So, you know,
well,
she doesn't,
you
math nerd is not, I think, the first thing that would come to mind when people meet you. But good on you, because I stink at math, which is why I do this.
Well, I hear that more often than not, you know, and writing is my challenge. So we all have our things. Yeah.
Where did you teach?
At Kirkwood for most of it. Kirkwood High School. And it is an incredible high school.
Wow. A high school math teacher. And I would think that's a fairly secure job, right?
It is. Yeah. And I had the good fortune. They held my job for a year when I took on my first company.
Wow.
Yeah. Kirkwood, okay. I owe a lot to.
So even a lot of people who may be teaching, who may be sick of it, would think, well, I'll just, you know, I'll ride this out to retirement.
Well, especially because of retirement. I mean, I was in that funny place of 12 years. You know, if I could wait till 25 or 30, I'm set in terms of retirement. So I had to really make that decision. It was a tough decision because teaching retirements are pretty great.
So what was the decision, Stacey? Was there when I heard you speak the last was at the AHA Women's Speaker Series. So to coin, you know, one of their terms, what was your AHA moment when you said, I'm going to do this?
You know, I think it's a lot of little things, right? You know, I got my master's in administration right out of high school. I mean, let me try that one again.
Wow, she's
a genius. I drove home 12 hours yesterday. Right out of college, I got my master's in administration. Thought I wanted to be a principal by the time I was 28. And I interned and, I give all those high school principals credit. It is a tough job. And when the kids would start crying, I was just a mess. And I didn't want to send them on the road with a detention. And not that that's all that principals do, but I really wanted to spend time to figure out, like, who are you? And why are you making these choices? So I went back and got my master's in school counseling. And then I interned and did it again. I had two masters and two undergraduate degrees and still was a little bit floundering. And life has a funny way of sending you some pretty loud messages. A young woman at our school committed suicide, and that for me just was enough's enough. High school's tough, and it's tough for boys and girls, right? But I really wanted to make a difference in young women's life. At that point, I was like, I'm done. I'm out. So January 2013 is when I started my first company. It's a tutoring coaching company for high school girls.
Wow. Is that still in existence? Did it morph into Rise or what happened?
That's a difficult question. It technically is still in existence. And really, because of that company, I was able to do Rise because that company paid my bills for many, many years when Rise was getting up and running. I officially stopped seeing clients about probably 3 to 4 months ago because going to Denver on a consistent basis. But some of the aspects of that company are now a part of it. We have a nonprofit as well. So I'm a crazy person. I have two for-profits and a nonprofit. Our nonprofit is Rise Society, and that really manages our mentor program. So my why is changing young women's lives. And I can't tell you how excited I am that we finally launched our mentor program, connecting high school girls to our members of Rise Collaborative and as part of a year-long mentor program.
That's terrific.
Yeah, I'm so excited by it. My favorite story is when we did a pilot program of this in April, I had a young woman say that she wanted to do biology and photography. I mean, who do I match her with, right? We have cancer biologists in our community, so that's amazing. That would be a win no matter what. We have some photographers in our community. That would be amazing. But then I remembered a woman who helped me start my first company, Katie, I want to say Zelly, but she's now married, Mortland. She has her PhD from WashU in biology, and she's a professional photographer.
Wow.
And I got to connect her to a high school girl, and they got to meet and talk to one another. And I think that's just life changing.
Well, and I really think that people don't put enough importance on mentors.
Oh, I agree.
If you've had a great mentor in life, you are blessed.
Oh, it's I wouldn't so be here important. Without a mentor. Mary Jo Gorman, I met her in 2014, and she said, I think you're on something. And if you don't waste my time, I will meet with you once a month for 2 hours. And I wouldn't have been a success without her.
So you have dealt with a lot of teenage girl issues.
Correct.
And I think things in many ways have gotten better for teenage girls. And yet at the same time, teenage girls are bombarded all the time with these images where it's all about looks and still it's like two steps forward, three steps back.
Yeah, it's, you know, things like we're more connected than ever before, but we're more disconnected. I mean, that's both for high school, that's for anyone, right? This era of social media and living out your childhood online. I mean, imagine, yes. I think about my childhood. I mean, I didn't do anything too crazy, but imagine if everything you did was online for the world to see, any silly, stupid thing. You know, that's so much pressure. And the high school girls, there's just so many mixed messages and pressures right now. It's really tough. And they pull away from their parents, understandably. Mm-hmm. That's part of growing up, right? But yet, who are they relying on? You know, school counselors are amazing, but high successful kids don't want to leave class, right? They're focused on trying to be successful. So they're not talking to their counselors. So they're relying on their friends. And friends are great, but let's be honest, high school girls,
they don't know much more than you.
Right. They're a little ill-equipped to support you. So they really are craving that adult interaction. They just won't ask for it. So getting high school girls around adults and these high achieving, you know, aspirational women, I believe it's going to be life changing.
I agree, because girls are told all the time, you can be whatever you want. You can be whatever you want. And at the same time, they get the message, you have to be beautiful and sexy and attractive to men. Yeah. And it's all about that.
And you can't be what you can't see, right? Like I thought in my life, doctor, lawyer, teacher, nurse, those aren't bad professions. Those are incredible professions. But now that I know 260 women here in St. Louis, their jobs are fascinating and so different than you would ever expect. And so if we can expose young women at an earlier age to all the possibilities this world has to offer, I mean, that's game changing.
Stacey Taubman is my guest here on KMOX Profiles of Rise Collaborative and all of the other things that she is involved in. We're going to talk more with Stacey when we return.
More of Profiles coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Welcome back to KMOX Profiles. I'm Debbie Monterey. My guest is Stacey Taubman of Rise Collaborative. And I saw you, as I mentioned earlier, I saw you doing a panel at the AHA Women Speaker Series. And I don't know how many of the speakers you got to see, but they were all amazing. It was a really great day. And I was just amazed and really taken by something that a lot of the women said, and I think it's true, that we all as women, one of the things that holds us back is that we feel like we've got to be perfect first before we do something.
Sure.
Whereas men are much better at just throwing themselves in there and having that confidence, even if they don't really feel it, and just going for it. Women tend to hold back because we've got to get it all right, and then we miss our opportunities.
Right, and there's stats to show that, right? I mean, there's lots of research that has been done to totally verify that idea. Yeah, you know, I see that time and time again, and I really think it comes back to you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. We live by that quote at Rise Collaborative by Jim Rohn. If you're around people that are taking risks and are going after their dreams and doing all these crazy things, you're more likely to do that, right? And men, think about it. Men are around men often, not that they're not around women, but, you know, they're hanging out, and that's their lifestyle, right? So the more we can get women around each other, pushing each other and going after their dreams, the more likely that's going to hopefully start to fall wayside.
Well, did it take you a while to decide to go for it?
Or? You know, it did. And things like exposure. So I met a guy who started a company when he was 26. At 31, his company had crazy amount of revenue, like 40 million. I'm probably getting it wrong, but somewhere around that. I grew up very lower middle class. I didn't know, quote unquote, those people, right? I thought someone who had a company with that kind of revenue would be so different from me. But once you meet people like that, you're like, wait a minute, they're not that different than me. You know, maybe I'm even maybe a little smarter than them, you know, right? Like, I think that exposure piece and being around other people striving and doing really amazing things makes you realize I can do it too.
I think too that there's this perception that successful business owners just want to keep it all for themselves and they don't want to help. But I think some of the most successful entrepreneurs and business mm-hmm. owners are the ones who want to share.
Oh, absolutely. You want to give back to the next generation and help pull more people up. I met with so many CEOs here in St. Louis when I was trying to build this. The idea came in December 2014. We didn't get open until January, February 2017. So what I was doing during that time was meeting with any successful male or female that was willing to sit down with me. And I can't tell you how many amazing people helped me here in St. Louis.
So what advice would you have for not just young girls, but anyone listening right now about doing that? Because there is a fear as well in picking up that phone and asking some sure. person that you don't know who's probably busy
right.
that you want to pick their brain
oh,
about.
Totally. And the phone terrifies me. I'm not great at picking up the phone.
I'm not either.
I go for the email route. I'm a little bit of, you know, hide behind my email.
Rejection is easier in print.
It is. And going back to talking about rejection, there's a great TED Talk I highly recommend. Or maybe it's not a TED Talk, but a video. This guy named Zhai Zhang, I'm sure butchering his name, so I apologize. He actually sought out rejection for 100 days straight, purposely to try to build up resilience around it, like an aversion therapy. And it's fascinating because he would do some of the craziest things, like ask a cop to drive his car. I don't recommend that. And all these other things. And you know what's funny? People said yes. People said yes way more times than you would imagine, but people don't ask because they're so terrified of that rejection. So I would, one, recommend watching that video. I'll try to send you a link so okay. you can share it. Two, go after and do it. You know, one of the biggest predictors to success in business, and actually I would say just in life, is social capital. It's not about the money. It's about who you know. And it's about relationships, real relationships. And so I just sought out building relationships with people. I would have coffee with any smart, strong, successful woman or man that would have coffee with me. And in my first year, I had coffee with 300 people.
That's a lot of coffee.
Yeah, I was going to say, let me rephrase. I didn't actually drink coffee 300 times because that would not be pretty. But, you know, yes, I didn't get to the CEO's day one. And it took me time to build up relationships with people in the community. But eventually, you know, one person would introduce me to the next person who'd introduce me to the next person who eventually I would get to the CEO. Like, a very important CEO that helped me a ton is Jeff Cook here in St. Louis from Arco Construction. He took 2 hours of his time to meet me for lunch and gave me some of the best advice. But I didn't meet him until 2.5 years in. So it just takes time and you just have to be willing to have coffees and truly build relationships. It's not transactional. What can you do for me? I was sitting down really wanting to know and get to know these people and learn about them. And what did you do to be successful?
And I think that's a key too, because if you're calling someone because you're trying to sell them something or you're calling somebody because you want them to hire you,
exactly.
that's a different ask than could I pick your brain
yeah.
about why you're so successful?
Absolutely. You know, I think people want to share those things, but you're right. I mean, so many people, especially of that caliber, every day someone's pitching them something. So coming at it from that angle is definitely not the right angle to go. So I'm glad you said that.
But let's talk about failure, because
I've had many of those.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Zhang,
yeah,
however we're butchering his name, wanting rejection to build up a tolerance. We're all afraid of failure. But on the other hand, that's super important.
It is. And I think, you know, at Rice Collaborative, every month we have different themes. I'm a teacher at heart, so we have curriculum. I'm not supposed to call it curriculum, but let's be honest, it's curriculum. One of our themes in May is all about celebrating success and failure. I think we have to be willing to have the conversations, both about, yay, look what I've done, which sometimes is hard for women, and also say, oh my gosh, let me tell you, I once made a $10,000 mistake. You know, the more we're willing to be authentic and own our big, big fails, the more other people will be.
Yeah. Sometimes those major fails are the most memorable things or doing the thing that you really were scared of.
Yeah. You know, it's a muscle, right? It's a muscle. And when I was a teacher, I never did anything that scared me. I hated public speaking. I still get terrified of public speaking. My heart is beating as we speak, but I would never force myself to do anything. And since starting a company that I wholeheartedly believe can change lives, I'm more willing to do the things that terrify me. And it's shocking how much I've changed because of it.
Well, let me ask you then, since you have dealt with young people, we hear a lot about this current generation. We love to, you know, oh, kids today. But we hear about helicopter parents and lawnmower parents.
Absolutely.
And how we try to protect our kids from every bump and bruise. And we want things to be perfect for them and how that doesn't prepare them for facing failure. Did you see that among kids?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I'm a big proponent of Brené Brown, and she talks a lot about how what that does is creates learned helplessness. You know, I would imagine as a parent, unfortunately, I'm not a parent, but I would imagine it's like horrible to watch your kid in pain, right? Or to suffer. But truly, you have to let kids fall down. They have to fall down. You will never learn, whether you're a kid or adult, how to get back up and how to be successful if you don't fall down. And so it's really important to let those kids fail, unfortunately. I don't want to say that out loud. But yes, and so I did see the consequences when parents would always swoop in and try to save them. There's a great book by Dr. Lisa Damore called Untangled, all about raising strong women. And there's a lot of great research and a lot of important things in her book that I would recommend.
Yeah, I think young people today, we tend to think, oh, they're so soft, they have everything. There are a lot of pressures on young people today that we did not face. Yet at the same time, if they're not being prepared to fail, that is adding a ton of stress, because one bump in the road and you go on a, you know, downward spiral.
Yeah. You know, I think it's about teaching coping skills and resilience and grit. You know, luckily there's a lot of movement in the education space around grit and resilience. And, you know, like I said, Brené Brown is huge for me. She studies shame and vulnerability, and shame is an ugly word. I get it. But shame resilience, you know, how do you change your language from shame, which is I am bad, to guilt, which is I did something bad? Those are big differences, and teaching kids to understand the difference. You know, failing a test, not great, but that doesn't make you a failure. And so I think that language piece is really crucial for kids.
Stacey Taubman is my guest, and she is with Rise Collaborative, a former teacher, if you're just tuning in. So I have so many questions. I actually have a almost 14-year-old daughter, which is why
awesome.
I'm peppering you with questions about
teens. I can talk about
teens.
It all day long.
Because I need help. We have to take a break here, and our final segment of KMOX Profiles when we return.
More of Profiles coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Welcome back. It's KMOX Profiles. I'm Debbie Monterey. Stacey Taubman is my guest, and she is an entrepreneur. She's onto her second business and a second career, having been a high school math teacher. So since we were talking about teaching, what do you think is behind a whole society of people saying, I'm terrible at math?
You know, I think one example would be parents accidentally saying it, right? You think you're bonding with your child and sharing your experience, but, you know, sharing like, I was a terrible math student only perpetuates that to your kids. I think math is a lot about confidence and going back to that idea of being okay with failure. You know, in math, sometimes you have to go down a path and it's totally the wrong path to get to the right path, right? You have to chew on math problems. I'm nerding out. You should not have asked me this question. No, but honestly,
I want to love math. No, I do.
You know, the question that students would always ask of like, why do I have to learn this? You know, let's say factoring. Factoring's a skill that students can't stand often. And they always will be like, Ms. Taubman, why do I have to learn factoring? When will I ever need this? And I would say to them, you're right. There are a lot of careers that you're not going to factor on a day in, day out basis. But it's the thought process, right? It's the learning how to push past that, oh my gosh, how am I ever going to do this? That's a skill that you can translate anywhere, no matter what you're doing. I think I'm a good entrepreneur because of that skill of being able to hit a brick wall, because you hit lots of brick walls, get knocked down, and then look at it from different angles and come at it from all different sides. And then keep going and chewing on it and chewing on it until you come up with a beautiful solution. Oh, gosh, you should not have asked me that question.
No, I love that. When my daughter finished kindergarten, which she loved because she didn't do that much in kindergarten, obviously, I think the first grade teachers really just laid it down like, this is what you're going to be doing in first grade. And so I couldn't figure out why my daughter was so reticent to go back to school.
Oh.
And she told me, I just want to stay home and be a mom.
Okay.
This was when she was five. Okay. I go, oh, so you think being a mom is easier than first grade? And she goes, well, yeah, you don't have to do math.
Oh, bless
her
heart.
So she was that scared of first grade because of math. So I guess it starts early.
It also depends on who you're around. Again, that quote, you are the average of the five people. I would love to know, what was her teacher like? Did her teacher love math or didn't love math? You know, the people accidentally infect the people that they're around. And so, you know, getting her around people that love math and getting it taught in a way that she can absorb. I believe anyone can learn math, but I believe that you have to teach it in the way that works for people.
All right. Maybe it's not too late for
me. It's not too late. I just need to be your tutor. Not that you would ever need me, but.
Well, you're too busy now.
I know. I miss math tutoring, though. But yes, I do not get to do that anymore.
Well, I should point out, because we were discussing your driving back and forth between here and Denver, that you're still in the process of opening the Denver Rise.
So we are doing pre-sale. So we have our building. We're starting construction soon, and we should be open, cross your fingers, early in January. And we already have almost 20 founding members, and we've had great momentum. So I couldn't be more thrilled.
So what has been some of the biggest surprises for you as you were, you know, changing careers and pivoting into this new segment of your life?
Yeah.
What were the things that you didn't expect?
Yeah, I'm going to sound a little bit boring and redundant, but I don't think I realized how many incredible women there were that were willing to do anything and everything for you to make you successful. I was the girl that was always friends with guys, right? Like I had experienced the mean girls growing up, right? So I thought girls were just catty and not always very nice, right? But then when you're around women who are confident and who want to support you, which is at the heart of everything we're doing at Rise, it's life-changing. You know, our whole vision, so to speak, Rise Collaborative, you rise through collaboration. I get to live it out every day. On our one-year anniversary, when we had 300 people in attendance, my success wasn't about me. My success was because of all the women and men who came to the table to make me successful. I mean, that's just unbelievable.
I think that is a really important thing, because I was thinking about my mom's generation. When women really were not, they could be maybe a nurse, maybe a teacher, and that otherwise they quit their job and they were a housewife. So women were all in competition for the same thing, which was landing the right husband.
And, true.
And I remember when I was a kid, my mom had made the comment that, you know, she didn't really have a whole lot of close female friends because it was like that
sharp elbows.
Right.
Yes.
And I think to myself, how blessed am I that I know all these amazing, successful women?
Totally. And, you know, this going into Denver has been a growing experience for me, because for 2-3 years, I've been insulated with just those kind of women, the supportive, collaborative women. Not to say other women don't exist. Sadly, there are still women who have the sharp elbows.
Right. And if you, those are the only women you know, find some new women.
Exactly.
They're out there.
Because they're, you know, everywhere there's both. But I had forgotten that. And going into Denver and experiencing both, it's been a little bit like, oh, goodness. I forgot how different I feel because I'm around the right kind of women. There's this awesome term called shine theory that Anne Friedman and her best friend, Amina, came up with. And she was actually one of the keynote speakers at the St. Louis Business Journal's conference for women. And I loved her term because it's exactly what we believe. I don't shine unless you shine. So this idea of, it's not about me shining, it's about this abundance mentality of being around everyone and helping them to shine. And I think that's key.
Yeah, helping somebody else to succeed does not take anything away from you.
And teaching high school girls and younger that, like, her success is not taking away from your success. Her cute shoes doesn't take away from your cute shoes. Her intelligence, you know, this abundance mindset that, you know, there's enough pie to go around for everyone. One slice taken out, it does not mean that the pie is going to be gone. Abundance versus scarcity is so crucial. It's a mindset. It's a practice. I'd be a liar if I didn't say I had my moments where I was like, oh, goodness, you know, will I be successful because this other person is doing something? But then you remind yourself there's enough to go around.
Well, you have already talked about several books. You're clearly a reader. I'm a reader. I actually wrote a column about how it's too bad that people are reading less and less. So many American adults don't read at all, except maybe their social media feed. And I feel like if people went back to reading, we could really change the world, you know?
I like it.
I mean, I know that's dreaming big, yeah, but, you know,
great.
You read a lot of nonfiction, I'm sure, for your business, but I think reading fiction, too, helps you with compassion and understanding and seeing things from another perspective.
Totally. And it teaches you things in a less, sometimes nonfiction is amazing, but it's hard to digest, where through story and through characters, you can learn the same lessons. One of my favorite books is Fountainhead by Anne, I don't know how to say your name. Anne Rand.
I know. I always said Anne Rand, and then people are like, it's Ian. Well, okay, whatever it is.
Right. And now I'm reading her second one, Atlas Shrugged. And I think her messages are interesting, and I'm learning, whether I agree or disagree, but I'm learning.
Right. I know that that Atlas Shrugged gets controversial politically, and I'm like, I read that, and I loved it. Just skip the philosophy part, and just the story is really good.
Yeah, and just learn. And Fountainhead, I've reread like six times, so I'm being honest, because I love this idea of doing what's at your heart and doing it not for the accolades or the praise, but doing because what you believe in.
So you do have time to read fiction?
Very rarely. Actually, I haven't read fiction in a long time, but my husband, who picked up Atlas Shrugged because I made him read Fountainhead. And so now that he's reading that, I'm like, oh, I have to read it too. So I just started, I think I'm chapter 4, but I'm competitive and he's already on chapter 7. So I have to get to chapter 7.
Yeah, I find that I'm so busy, I don't have as much time to read. So I challenge myself on Goodreads. You do a reading challenge and then you set how many books you're going
to
read that year. So, you know, we're getting close to the end of the year. I'm like, I got to step it up. I'm never going to.
Oh, I love that.
We're going to reach my goal.
Well, I find myself so often on social media way more than I need to. So having this extra motivation, then I'm able to like, okay, enough with Facebook. Let's go ahead
Let's read.
Yeah, much better use of my time.
Well, it has been a pleasure talking to you, Stacey, and learning more about you and Rise Collaborative. If people have questions and they think maybe I'd like to be a member or come check it out, what do you recommend?
Yeah, we're growing 10 to 20 new members every month, so it's been incredible. So I recommend going to our website, riseworkspace.com, or any social media. I am all over social media, especially Instagram and LinkedIn. Most people say where they found us through LinkedIn and Instagram.
So while social media has its definite pitfalls, it also can be an amazing way to network if you use it right.
It's all about balance. Oh, for sure. I've broken into new markets because of LinkedIn. I am a huge proponent of LinkedIn, so I encourage it.
She is Stacey Taubman of Rise Collaborative. I'm Debbie Monterey. Thanks so much for tuning in to KMOX Profiles.
You've been listening to Profiles. If you missed any of this episode or to hear other profiles, go to KMOX.com and click On Demand.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.